With me, we'll read our text this morning, John chapter 16. Let's see. Let's begin reading John chapter 16. Let's begin reading in verse number 19. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto him, Do ye inquire amongst yourselves of that I said a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy shall no man take, your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, and that your joy may be full. I love that phrase, that your joy may be full. Really, it says what God desires for all of us is that our joy would be full. He wants that. Verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but let me say that again. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. What's that mean? It means they don't have full understanding yet. But look what he says next. The time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. So in other words, there's going to be a day where you're going to have full of understanding. 26, at that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. And really all Jesus says here to his disciples is the door is open. The door is open. Let's pray. Father, I pray your blessings on the message. God, it's your message. It's all about you. And so I pray that you would be honored today. I pray for those that need to be saved. God, would you bring conviction to their soul? I pray for those that just need to hear from you and be encouraged and strengthened and touched by you. God, would you do that in us? I pray again, one more time, your blessings on the message. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. When I was in junior high, it was the first year that I played organized basketball. And it was all new to me. I had been playing basketball for a few years, just trying to learn the game and practicing, you know, shooting. And I remember one summer going into my eighth grade year. It would have been so coming out of seventh grade, going into eighth grade all summer. Almost every day, I ran to the community center, which was a couple of miles away, and then I would play basketball there all day. And then I would come home and I would do that just day after day, trying to learn how to play the game. So coming into my eighth grade year, you know, it was my first time to play organized basketball. We had practice at 6 a.m. That's what time we had practice. And I lived a couple of miles away from the school where the gym was and where we practiced. And I had to get a ride there, but my parents wouldn't give me a ride. And so I walked to school. I'd get up at 4:30 every morning so I could get myself ready and walk to the school so I could be ready, be there for basketball practice. I didn't think anything about it. I just was wanting to play basketball. And if that's what I needed to do, get up at 4:30, then I did. I just got up. And so There would have been many times that I got to the gym, and I actually got there before Coach got there. And so I'm sitting outside by the door that led into the gym, and I would just sit at the door on the ground, and sometimes I would fall asleep just waiting for Coach to get there. And the reason why I would sit there is because the door was locked, and I couldn't get in until Coach got there. So he would get there, he would unlock the door, then I would be in. I said that to you because that's how it would have been for Israel in the Old Testament. Before Jesus came, Israel, the people of God, didn't have direct access to the Father. They weren't able to just go into God's presence. The door was locked. And so what they had to do is they had to go through a series of ceremonial activities so that they could come into God's presence. Now, why did they need to do that? In the Old Testament, God brought the children of Israel out of bondage. And at the foot of Mount Sinai, God established covenant with his people. And with the Ten Commandments, which were the terms of the agreement between Israel and God, it declared this, that I will be your God and you will be my people. It was very personal, very intimate. But while Moses was up on Mount Sinai receiving the commandment, the covenant from God, Israel, they got distracted and they began to worship what was created, these molten calves. So with that decision, it broke the covenant between God and Israel. And so now Israel is under the judging hand of God. They're separated from God, and they're not able to fellowship or come into God's presence. So what God did in his mercy is he established a Levitical standard, a Levitical law, that would allow Israel to come even again back into God's presence, according to Levitical law. So God gave Israel a tabernacle. A tabernacle was a big tent. And the tent was to house the Ark of the Covenant, but also all of the other elements that would allow Israel to come in back into God's presence, according to as long as they would go into the tabernacle and perform things according to God's standard and Levitical law. So you would come into the entrance of this tent, this tabernacle, and note this, it just had one entrance, the tabernacle, the tent just had one entrance. And it's a picture, isn't it? That there's only one way to get to God. There's not a lot of doors, there's not a lot of entrances, there's just one. And so they would come into the tent or the tabernacle, and then they would be in the court, the courtyard. This is where the outer court would have been. There would have been furniture there, and there would have been a brazen altar. The brazen altar was covered by a brass grate, and there would have been coals underneath this grate. And the sacrifice would have been placed on top of the grate, and there would have been horns that held attached to this altar that held the animal that was bound and was being sacrificed. And this would have been in the outer court. It was estimated that approximately, catch this, it was estimated that approximately 300,000 sheep were killed each year, and the blood flowed out of the temple in streams. Hebrews 10:1 says these words, year by year continually. You would then go from the brazen altar into the next part of the tabernacle, which was called the holy place. In the holy place, there would have been a lampstand, a table of showbread, and an altar of incense. From the holy place, you would go then from there into the third part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, or the Holy of Holies. And inside the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was like a pot or a, you know, a container that had manna, Aaron's rod, the table of the covenant, the commandments. It was in there. On top of the ark was the mercy seat. It was sort of like a covering on top of the ark. The mercy seat was where, in the Holy of Holies, the place where God met with his people. Amen. The Holy of in the Holy of Holies at the mercy seat. So the ark represented the presence of God. And catch this, no one entered into the Holy of Holies. No one touched the ark. Only one day a year, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest, and he's the only one who had the authority to do this, on that one day of the year, according to Leviticus 16, he would ceremoniously and cautiously enter into the Holy of Holies. And what he would do in the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat would have been, is he would have poured the blood on the mercy seat to atone for the sins of the nation. Note this, that he would have had a rope tied around his ankle when he went into the Holy of Holies. Why? Because if he would have done something wrong, he would have died and dropped dead on the spot. And no one would have had the authority to go in after his body, so they would drag his body out with that rope. Very serious. There was a veil that separated men from the Holy of Holies and from access to the ark. The veil represented man's separation from God. Man was separated from God, and Levitical law brought man back to God, but it was limited. It was incomplete. Man did not have direct access to God. He only was able to be in God's presence on that one day a year, and it was only the high priest. This would have been how the disciples would have understood access to the Father. So somebody says, we have access to the Father. That's what the disciples would have known, or what they would have thought of. They would have never have thought, oh yes, I'll go directly into the presence of the Father. They would have never have dreamed of doing that. So listen to, with that in mind, listen to what Jesus said in verse number 23. And in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Look at verse 24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. What's he saying? He's saying the disciples had not asked. Why? Because they couldn't ask. They could not come into the presence of the Father. They could not ask anything in the name of Jesus before this point. The Levitical law would have hindered them, and the holiness of God would have hindered them from coming into his presence. Look at verse 23 again. In the day you shall ask me nothing, but look what Jesus says next. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father, and then there's key words here, in my name, he will give it you. And then verse 24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name, again, because they couldn't. And now Jesus says, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. So they did not have access to the Father, but Jesus is saying to the disciples, this is going to change. It's not going to be like it used to be. The access that you didn't have, it's not going to be like that. Look at verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. Well, what does that mean? Like we read just a little while ago. There's things that they don't understand. There's things that they're not grasping. They would have understood access to the Father has been very limited. And that's what they would have seen. And so what Jesus is saying here, it would have been veiled in their minds. Not understanding, what do you mean asking and receiving and coming to the Father? In verse 23 it says, ask the Father. They wouldn't have understood this. They didn't have access to the Father. But Jesus says the time is coming. In that day, look what it says in the last part of 25. Or in the middle. But the time cometh. The time cometh. In other words, it's not here yet, but it's coming. When I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly the Father. So there's a day coming when you'll plainly see the Father. Amen. That's what he says. What was veiled will be open and you'll plainly see. Verse 26, at that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. I love that verse. I feel like we could stop right there and finish the whole rest of our time. You know why? Because Jesus says to his disciples, I will pray the Father for you. In other words, Jesus has compassion for us. Do we feel like we deserve God's mercy? No, sir. No, ma'am. We don't deserve God's mercy. And if you feel like you deserve God's mercy, then there's something that's not right in your thinking. We don't deserve his mercy, nor do we feel, if our mind is where it should be, do we feel that we deserve God's mercy. But yet Jesus, in his grace and in his mercy and in his love, says, I pray for you. And that's his compassion. He cares for us. Listen, God wants us to come to him. You say, well, I'm not sure that I deserve or I have, you know, that I'm worthy. Our worthiness has nothing to do with it. God desires us to come to him. His compassion, his arms are open. He wants us to come to him. And so this morning, maybe that's you. So verse 26, I will pray the Father for you. 27, for the Father himself loveth you. Jesus speaks of the love of the Father for the disciples, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. That's the key of the gospel there. The key to salvation, the key to coming to God is understanding the Lord Jesus Christ and why he came and why he died and why he rose again, so that we might have access to the Father through him. Amen. And so the Father himself loves us, but he says, because ye have loved me and believed. And so there's a relationship with Jesus that allows them to have that access to the Father. Look at 28. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Look at 26, the first three words. At that day. This was to say that the disciples would one day have access to the Father. By the name of Jesus, they could go right into the Holy of Holies in heaven. One day, they would boldly be able to enter into God's presence. His sacrifice would open the curtain that previously had separated mankind from God. In the Holy of Holies, in the veil that separated man from the presence of God, it would be torn. In fact, in Matthew 27, 51, when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. Let me say that again. The veil in the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom. Why does it say that the veil that separated man from the Holy of Holies, man from the presence of God, was ripped in two and separated and opened from top to bottom? Why? Because God is the one who opened the way. It didn't open from the bottom to the top because we didn't make our way to God. God made his way to us. And he ripped the veil, opening it up. Amen. How does it work? Hebrews 4 says this, seeing then we have a great high priest. And on the great day of atonement, the great high priest, which would have been Jesus, passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, it says in Hebrews 4, behold, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore boldly come unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so God opened the veil and allowed man to have access to him. Listen to Romans 5 says this, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. I remember when I was a kid that there were times that I would go to my dad's door and I would knock on the door and I would hear his voice from the inside, and he would say this, go away. He loved me very much, you know. Dad, no, go away. It's like he knew what I was going to ask, you know. And so there would have been a lack of access to the Father. in Israel, wanting perhaps to come into the presence of the Father, but would have had no access, would have been separated from God, not having the ability to come into His presence. The door was closed. Man was separated. Man could not unlock the door. No person could offer a gift so that the door would be opened. There's only one way. There's only one person who could open that door. And it was Jesus when He went to the cross. And He went to the cross and He died for our sins. He died to pay the penalty of our sins. And when he was on the cross and He died, they took Him from the cross and they buried His body. But 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. And when Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible teaches that He ascended to the mercy seat in heaven. And on that mercy seat from heaven, He had something with Him. He had His own blood. And on the mercy seat in heaven, Jesus offered and sprinkled His blood. And it was acceptable to the Father. And so that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, man's sins are atoned for. But according to Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says this, once for all. And so you don't have 300,000 sheep who go to the altar and they die year after year continuously. There's no more sacrifice. There's no more need for the shedding of blood because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was offered on the mercy seat in heaven, sprinkled there to atone for the sins of all of mankind once for all. And immediately when Jesus offered His blood, it was acceptable to the Father. And the Bible says that the veil in the temple was rent, illustrating that access was opened up, the door was opened up of access to the Father so that you and I today, we can go straight to the Father. Amen. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to go through a man or through some ceremony. We can go straight to the throne room, the heaven in the heavenlies, the holy of holies, into the presence of God because of what Jesus did. Because He opened the door. Through His blood, man's sins are purged. Through His blood, payment for man's sins is satisfied. Man is redeemed. He's bought back. The veil of the temple was rent, and man can enter into the presence of the Father. This is what Jesus would have been saying to His disciples, that they would have had access to the Father, that there was coming a day when the disciples would be able to go directly into the presence of the Father. Listen, you can ask the Father this morning. You can ask the Father. Christ has opened the door. You're invited. You're invited to enter into His presence. He says, come on in. Into My presence. When I was a kid, there were things that you weren't allowed to do because you're a kid. You know? There's no entitlement. Whenever, at least when I was a kid, there's no entitlement. You know, you're a kid, you sit over here. When you're not a kid anymore, then you can graduate to the adult table. You know, the kid table, the adult table. You stay at the kid table. You know, you don't have to wonder about your access to the Father. The door has been opened. And so now we can come to the Father. And that's encouraging for us this morning, and it's needful for us this morning. Why? Because you might need to be saved today. I think that it would be foolish for us not to acknowledge that there might be some here this morning who don't know the destiny of their eternal soul. Meaning if you were to die today, you're not really sure if you'd go to heaven. And we don't gain access to heaven on the basis of our good deeds. Jesus said it multiple times in our text, in My name. You come to Christ in the name. You come to the Father. You have access to the Father, and it's in the name of Christ. It's not in the name of our own good deeds or our own efforts, our own religious exercises. And so it might be this morning that there are some who would admit, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved this morning. If I was to die today, I don't know if I would be with God in heaven. Right. Listen, if that's you this morning, here's what I would do if I was you. I would get up from that pew where you're sitting, and I would run to this altar.
Amen.
And I would fall down on my knees, and I would, if I needed help, I would raise my hand and say, Pastor, help me. I need to be saved. I don't know if I was to die today that I would go to heaven. I need help so that I can be saved. The door is opened.
Amen.
But God's not going to make you walk through it. That's something that He'll speak to your heart. He'll confirm things in you. He'll speak to you about your need of salvation, but He won't make you walk through the door of salvation. This morning, if you need to be saved, if I was you, I would run to this altar. And I would get it settled before I left this place. That's what the door open means. The door is open means you would be wise to run through that door and get things right with God. You know, I think sometimes we feel, I feel this way, I wish I could see the future. We can't see the future, right? So, but it would be nice to know how a few things work out. You say, well, you know, if I knew how it was going to work out, then I would, you know, it would affect what I do and what decisions I make. So what do we have to do since we can't see the future? We make decisions today based on faith that God knows the future, and that's good enough.
Amen.
Did you know the door is open for you if you're already saved?
Amen.
So that you can come to the Father and you can get some direction for your life? And you can have faith, you can have confidence that God knows, and that's enough. That's good enough. And the door's open for that. You know, if you're wise, if we're wise, and we already have salvation, and we've been kind of getting on some wrong paths, that we would leave our pew this morning and run to this altar.
Amen.
And come to the Father and get our hearts right with Him and say, Father, I've not been doing right. I've not been living right. I've not been praying like I should. I've not been reading my Bible like I should. I've been so fleshly. I've been making decisions that are based on my own feelings, and I haven't been seeking you about these things.
Right.
Would you forgive me for that? Would you forgive me? Would you set me on your path? Would you help me to hear from you, to see you? Did you know the door is open for you to do that this morning?
Amen.
Like, well, you know, Pastor, I'll come and get right with God whenever I get, you know, I need to get some things sorted out in my life before I can get right with God. No, you don't.
Amen.
The door is open.
Amen.
This is what Jesus is saying. There's no more ceremonies. There's no more sacrifices. The sacrifice is done. It's Jesus. He sacrificed Himself to open the door to access to the Father. You can come to Him through Christ, through His blood, anytime this morning.
Amen. That's right.
The only thing stopping you from walking through that door and coming back to the Father is you.
Right.
Your own pride. Maybe you love your sins. Maybe you love the path that you're on. Maybe you're not really sure you want to give it up. Now, those things would hinder us. Maybe we're confused about the door being open. We feel like we need to earn access back to the Father. You don't need to earn access back to the Father. The door is open. You just come. You need to be saved? The door's open. You just got to walk through it. You just need to come. And if you need to be saved, you're foolish if you don't run to this altar and get it settled. Let me say that again. If you need to be saved, if you're lost, and God confirmed that in you through conviction that you're lost, you are foolish if you don't get it settled today. Right. You are taking a chance that you're going to make it till next week.
That's right.
To get another chance. Or even to the end of today or tomorrow. You know? You would be wise to run through that door and get it settled before it's too late. You need to just be right with God. The door is open. And we would be wise to get it right with Him, wouldn't we? We would be wise. I'm going to read our text again. And I want you to listen to the words that Jesus says to His disciples as we conclude this message. And I want you to have this in your mind when we read this. The door is open. Our text is verse, let's see, verse 23. And in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. They didn't because they couldn't. But now ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I will show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from the Father. And now our last verse, 8:28. I came forth from the Father and am come unto the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Jesus says, ask. Ask. Go to God. Ask. Need to be saved. Come to the altar. Walk through the door. Need to get right with God. Come to the altar. The door is open. You would be wise to come. Father, we love you. We thank you for your grace. And Lord, we consider this morning the message of mercy, the message of grace. The door is open, access to the Father, that we can come. And so, Lord, for those that need to be saved, God, would you bring conviction, please? Courage to come. For those that just need to get it right with you. And I'm sure there's many of us that just need to get right with you today. Would you help us to come? Give us courage to just walk through that door and to get our hearts right. Thank you that we have access. Thank you that we can boldly come. Guide us in your path. Forgive us where we fail you, please, in Jesus' name. Every head's bowed. Nobody's looking around. Say, Pastor, I need to be saved. I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? If you'll lift your hand, I'll pray for you. I won't embarrass you, but I'll pray for you. Pastor, I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? Is there anybody like that? Thank you. Thank you for lifting your hand. Anybody else? I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? Anybody? Thank you. I see your hand. Anybody else? I should have raised my hand, Pastor. I didn't. Would you pray for me? I need to be saved. Anybody? I'm going to pray for you. Anybody? Okay. Father, I pray for these that lifted their hand. Would you give them courage to come and get it settled before it's too late? Lord, confirm in their hearts their need of salvation. Convict them of their need. And for those that perhaps need to be saved, they did not raise their hand, would you continue to convict? Guide us in your path. Lord, and for those that just need to be right with you today, bring us to the altar. And we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.